With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll get your Bible and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're continuing our study on Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to take just a moment and review and then move on in our study of the Word of God. I pointed out to you, first of all, that Jesus Christ is proven to be the Son of God by the fact of his supernatural birth. I pointed out to you the annunciation of the angel unto Mary that she would conceive and bring forth a son, and she was to call his name Jesus. And then I pointed out in Luke chapter number 1, verse 34 and 35, Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be?" And he said to her that the Holy Ghost would come upon her, that there'd be a conception take place, and that holy thing which would be conceived in her womb would be the Son of God. And then we looked at the annunciation of the angel unto Joseph, the man that Mary was espoused to. He told him that the baby that was in Mary's womb was not there because of an act of fornication, but it was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and he was to marry her. And so he did, but he knew her not until after the baby Jesus was born. So we saw the supernatural birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is Bible evidence that he is the Son of God. And then we looked at his supernatural boyhood. We saw how that when he was 8 days old, he was brought into the temple to be circumcised. And we looked at the experience of both the older man by the name of Simeon and the older lady by the name of Anna, and how that something happened to them supernaturally, manifesting to them that this was the Son of God. And we saw him in Luke chapter number 2 when he went to the temple as a 12-year-old boy, asking questions of the doctors and lawyers and answering them. And he made the statement to Mary, "Wist ye not that I must be up and about my Father's business?" Not speaking of Joseph, but of his heavenly Father, God Almighty. So we see his supernatural birth and his supernatural boyhood are evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we looked at his supernatural baptism, and we saw when Christ was baptized that the heavens opened and the Spirit of God in the form of a dove descended and lighted upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was a voice from heaven that thunders out, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And so in that supernatural baptism, again, we have Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we looked on yesterday at Bible evidence of his supernatural battles prove that he is the Son of God. We looked at him as he battled with the devil. And then we looked at him as he conquered diseases and healed them. And then we looked at him as he battled with the deep. He would say to the winds and the waves, "Peace, be still." And they obeyed his voice. We saw him as he battled with demons, when he cast the unclean spirit out of different people. Then we saw him as he battled with death 3 times in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes where death is. He goes to the house of Jairus, where his 12-year-old daughter was dead, and raises her. He stops the funeral procession of the widow woman from the city of Nain and raises her son. And he goes to the tomb of Lazarus and raises Lazarus from the dead. So we saw his supernatural birth, his supernatural boyhood, his supernatural baptism, and his supernatural battles as Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Another Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is his supernatural behavior. No person ever behaved as did the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to focus in on just one aspect of his supernatural behavior, and that is his sinless life. You see, for 33 plus years, the Lord Jesus lived here upon this earth. And in all of the days of his life, he never committed one sin. There is no other person who has ever lived that could be said about. Only Christ lived a sinless life. We go to the Word of God for Bible evidence of this. But I want to point out to you seven passages of Scripture that teach us the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we look at what his friends said about his sinlessness. And then second, we will look at what his foes said about his sinlessness. And we take all of these from the Word of God. Notice twice the Apostle Paul speaks about the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21, Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, as you break that down to look at it, "For he," that is God the Father, "hath made him," God the Son, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21, he knew no sin. Notice again the writing of Paul in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. The Bible said, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." This verse of Scripture teaches us that Christ Jesus faced every temptation that any human being would ever face. But there's one difference between him and us. In all the temptations he faced, he never yielded to one temptation and committed one sin. So he was different in the sense that he did not commit any sin. And Paul testifies of his sinless life in 2 Corinthians 5:21 and in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 15. But then I want you to notice what Simon Peter says about his sinless life in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 22. Simon Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." So here Simon Peter testifies under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God of the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then John the Beloved said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 5, he said, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." So here you have the witness under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the writing of Paul the Apostle and of Simon Peter and also of John the Beloved as to the sinless life, the supernatural behavior of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just summarize by saying 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, "Who knew no sin?" Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 said, "Yet without sin." 1 Peter 2:22 said, "Who did no sin?" And 1 John 3:5 said, In him is no sin. So we see here three of his friends, Paul, Peter, and John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, bear witness in the Word of God that Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God. But then you would say, well, preacher, you would expect his friends to speak up for him. So let's look at what his foes said. Notice Judas Iscariot's testimony. The man who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified brings back the money in Matthew chapter number 27. And in verse number 4, he said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Not just innocent blood, but the innocent blood. I have betrayed him who is innocent, is what Judas is saying. Then the thief on the cross in Luke chapter number 23, verse number 41. You remember the story. One thief has railed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross and save thyself and us. But the other thief said, this man hath done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong, nothing worthy of being put to death as he is. And then in John 19, verse number 4, the Bible said, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Now, friend, listen to me today. If ever a man would have benefited by finding fault in Christ, then Pilate would have gained great benefits. And so he thoroughly examined him. But Pilate said, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. The thief on the cross said, this man hath done nothing amiss. And Judas Iscariot said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. So we see Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God through his supernatural behavior. Paul said, he who knew no sin. And then Paul said again, yet without sin. Peter said, who did no sin. And John said, and in him was no sin. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. The thief on the cross said, this man hath done nothing amiss. And Judas Iscariot said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. So his supernatural behavior is Bible evidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I do want to take this opportunity and wish all of you who listen to the radio a Merry Christmas and a Christ-centered New Year to the glory of our God. Let me also wish a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to the staff and management of all of the radio stations that carry the broadcast. We're all laborers together with God, and I trust that God will use our labor to his glory. As you go through the holiday season, don't forget the reason for the season. Keep Christ in the center of all your Christmas activities. As you do your giving, I trust you'll remember the Harvest Time broadcast. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.
I do not wait. It's growing.